so we'd like to get a response from them.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have had consultations among ourselves. We still feel that we are not comfortable with issues of procedural fairness. However, I would like to assist this committee by giving it information, particularly regarding the finances and so on, but outside the inquiry. We are prepared to do it, provided it's outside the inquiry. Thank you, Chair.
Any other views from board members?
Chair, I think there's concurrence from the side of board members to say that we would really love to assist the committee, but I think we are gradually getting drawn into some technical arguments, and we respect the House, we respect the committee. We don't want to get into deeper details in terms of the technical arguments that we could hold. I can point it out clearly, as a member of the House, that once you go the technical route, there could be much more stronger technical arguments that could be advanced, and it will, those would not actually help us with what we would love to. We have also agreed, Chair, to say that two of our colleagues could actually make a brief synopsis presentation on the issues of finances. Thereafter, I will come just to make a submission to the House.
Get clarity. They're saying they're prepared to give us information outside the inquiry. Are they therefore saying they're not prepared to participate in the inquiry, and that the only way we can get them to participate is for subpoena them to come and attend? Is that what they're saying?
Chairperson, we as Advocate Sakula has indicated, only for the reason contained in the statement I read out earlier about the procedural and substantive flaws in the process. And perhaps it will assist Mr. DeLange also and the committee members. If I read from the PAJA Act itself, it says, procedurally fair administrative action affecting any person. Administrative action which materially and adversely affects the rights or legitimate expectation of any person must be procedurally fair. And then it proceeds. It says, a fair and administrative procedure depends on the circumstances of each case. In order to give effect to the right to a procedurally fair administrative action, an administrator must give a person referred to in subsection 1 adequate notice of the nature and purpose of the proposed administrative action, 2 a reasonable opportunity to make representation. It goes on, but for those two things, we have indicated that the committee has not complied with those two things. I want to give an example of that. Mr. DeLange said earlier on, all we are asking you is to deal with the content of the letter. But then he said to us, look, we've complied with the Act. That is the SABC, the Amendment Act. He said we've complied with that in that we want to inquire. Sorry, Chair, I'm just looking for the Act now. We want to inquire in the three issues. 15A subsection 1, which says, which I read in my statement, which says the committee can mount a due inquiry into discharging the board if it fails in any or all of the following: discharging its fiduciary duty, adhering to the charter, and carrying out its duty. So we immediately already see a conflict between what Mr. DeLange says is in the Act, which he says, and I've taken notes, is in the Act, and then he refers to the letter. There's a conflict between these two things. And this is the jeopardy we face as a board, as board members. We face the jeopardy that we do not know why we are here and what we are answering. They are generalized questions, and we simply cannot do that. So Chair, what Advocate Lakula suggested, and we've all agreed on that, is that we cannot, for those reasons, participate in the inquiry. We would be happy if we're subpoenaed, and it's not necessary to subpoena us. All we want is adequate time and the ability to fully inform the committee, as Ms. Mkonza said, of what the actual issues are. We cannot do it here because we've not had the opportunity to do so. And in that, once we're given that opportunity, Chair, we would be happy to come to the committee. But we are prepared to provide. One of the things that I've noted from the questions asked from the committee is the committee is very concerned about the financial situation. So are we. And there have been steps taken by the board and issues raised. We want to share that with the committee, but we cannot for our own protection, because there are issues of liability attached to going into an inquiry which is flawed, and we are not prepared to take that risk. So we will assist the committee, and we will answer the issues around the financial state of the organization if it's outside an inquiry.
Let me just frankly, we've got our own legal person, the parliamentary legal advisor, and I'm going to ask Mr. Adhikari just now to respond and to respond to the issues you're raising. But let me explain how I think the committee understands this process. If you look at the Act 15A1A, that talks about an inquiry into the performance of a particular individual member of the board. And the basis on that of that inquiry is this out as misconduct, inability to perform his or her duties efficiently, absence from 3 consecutive board meetings, etc., etc. Now, I think the points you're raising about due process and this PASA Act, etc., at least in my layperson, I'm not a lawyer, would apply in that particular context, because there's an individual that you are making allegations against, and you might be removing that person from office, and that might prejudice the person's personal standing in society. And before you arrive at that decision, you must have a fair process. Charges need to be put to the person that has got legal recourse to defend himself or herself. But if you look at 15A1B, and I can read it to you, the National Assembly may, after due inquiry and by the adoption of a resolution, recommend the dissolution of the board, as an institution, as a collective entity. So we are not here to judge individual members. And I want you to clarify this issue of personal liability, because we're talking about a structure. We're not assessing individual performance here. We're assessing the competence and the effectiveness and efficiency of a structure. Is it able to carry out its core responsibilities as a structure? So I fail to understand what is meant by personal liability. Now, I might be wrong. I might be entirely wrong. As I said, I'm not a lawyer. So maybe I should ask Mr. Adhikari just to give us a view on this matter. I've seen some hands up there. But I really think at this stage, we've had a discussion on this matter. And I must indicate that I don't think the committee would necessarily agree with your interpretation. But I'm going to ask Mr. Adhikari to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You actually covered most of the issues, but I think just to reiterate, insofar as one is not looking at specific allegations, one is looking at the efficacy of the board as a whole. That is something that requires an objective view from the outside, and that is why you've invited the board as a whole to present whether or not they can function and whether they are able to discharge their fiduciary responsibilities in terms of the statutes and the articles of association. So that is a more, is a less personal kind of inquiry. Now, there was also mention about the adequate time, which is another relative concept. So we're not dealing with concepts here that we have a nice checklist that we can tick off from. Adequate time is a relative concept, and if you're going to be asking questions which require consideration, then of course it would be unfair. But I think from my understanding and the way this has been going, it's questions about past activities which an individual or the board collectively should be able to answer. And there, as I say, it's relative to the nature of the questions and the nature of the inquiry. And insofar as we're not looking at specific allegations, I am comfortable with the process so far.
Thank you very much. Are there any members who still want to, Reverend Zondi?
Thank you, Chairperson. I move from the standpoint that as members of this committee, we regard members of the board as honorable people. And we are sensitive to the fact that we shouldn't do anything that harms their dignity. And that therefore, in conducting this inquiry as individual members and as a collective, they should emerge out of this process, retaining their dignity, so that even in the event that that this board is replaced, some other people would find it attractive to serve in this board. Now, having said that, arising out of board member Kunda, the issue of reasonable notice, what would be reasonable notice and what would be adequate time? And in giving answer to those questions, the overriding question that I do have is then, what happens to the SABC in the meantime? Because we, this side of this house, are concerned about the day-to-day happenings or the mishappenings in the SABC. Will there be the SABC left while we give them whatever reasonable time they might come up with? Thank you, Chairperson.
Just add one more writer to this whole circle. Early on, the statement was made about the last portfolio committee and its attitude or its perceived attitude towards the board. I think we must clarify, and we did this the last time on Thursday, that this is a new committee. And we appeal to members of the board to see it for what it is. It is, I would say, 90% of the membership of this committee, this new portfolio committee, is new. So you should not see this committee in terms of the actions of its predecessor. It can be wrong. This is a new parliament. There's a new mandate. It so happens that one or two of us have been asked to serve again in this committee, but this is a new committee. And I think it is making its own decision, irrespective of what transpired in the past. And I believe, I have no reason to doubt the objectivity of the members here, their sincerity, their integrity. I think they are here because of the serious crisis that is there. And there are no hidden political vendettas or agendas. This is a new committee, and I think you should take it as such.
Sorry, Chairperson. Just in terms of progress, I think we have noticed what Advocate Lakula has stated, and I do believe that because we want to get to the bottom of the real problems that the SABC, and especially the financial liquidity crisis, I would like to propose that we proceed noting the position of individual members, and as stated by Advocate Lakula, that we respect their position. And that we then therefore inquire into the problem without having this sort of debate about, does this constitute a due inquiry? Was there proper notice given? Is it fair? So that we can ask the same type of questions without the threat of sort of possible legal action or challenges that may be brought because of the process followed. Thank you.
This committee has many powers. most of his recommendation making, it can make no decisions on behalf of Parliament. And the inquiry is created according to statute. And when this committee exercises powers, it is exercised in terms of that statute and that statute only. If we want to have an inquiry into the collective responsibility on the three grounds mentioned of the board, you can only do it in terms of that act. I would very strongly urge, Chair, that we do not split this and make a farce of this matter. We will participate if it's not an inquiry. That's of no consequence to us. We must either sort out the problem, we must either decide as a committee there is a serious corporate meltdown situation at the SABC. Once we've all come to that conclusion, all the parties have come to the conclusion, then we must do something to rectify that matter. Either you act in terms of the rules of Parliament, because that's the only power we have as a committee, or you act in terms of a particular statute that gives you a certain power. But the one thing we cannot do with what's happening now is fudge this issue. We cannot fudge this issue. Either the members of the board must come to the public of South Africa via this portfolio committee and explain what they've done or not done, or we must put them on terms through a subpoena to do so. But I definitely do not want to be part of this committee if we're going to drag this process on. And I as a committee have got no guarantees what's happening to the assets and the money of the board outside. I now, and this committee now, are absolutely seized with this matter. And we have to bring this matter to finalization one way or the other, Chair. Either we continue with the inquiry as we've all the parties have agreed, and that it's duly constituted, and the three grounds on which it takes place. Or if the members do not want to participate, the nine of them, then I would urge us to immediately serve subpoenas on them and have them here tomorrow to answer these questions. Because the problem is, if we obfuscate the matter as we have, and this Professor Gilwood has very clearly and very kindly told us, all the issues we raised on Thursday, we said, okay, this was short notice, but these are the issues we're going to raise. She's informed these members what those issues are. All those documents are here. Not a single one is not here. All these documents we gave to the board on Thursday to deal with and to respond to us. So again, Chair, either we continue with the inquiry as it is constituted, or if these members do not want to participate in this, I would strongly urge this committee that we cannot neglect our duties and let this slip one more day, and that we then subpoena these members that they then, and then of course they're under a subpoena, and all the rules and regulations, I'm sure Advocate Tlakula and Ms. Kunta can explain to their members what that means. And then that's the basis on which we do it. But we as a committee cannot sit here and dilly-dally any longer. We have to ask these questions, and we have to get answers to them. If there are answers to them, I, for God's sake, please just give us the answers and tell us what they are.
Ms. Ndivuku, and then Mr. Kolwani, the General Romina.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. First of all, I don't get any sense from this board that they intend not participating in inquiry. They're simply asking for adequate time to prepare. Advocate De Lange is now talking about subpoenaing them. It's very threatening language. They've not said they won't participate in the inquiry. They simply said, under the circumstances in which they've been brought here today, and under the circumstances that they were brought on the 18th of June, they hadn't had adequate time to prepare their testimony, and they hadn't been given an adequate representation of what it is they were coming here to answer to. Now, if we are all here and we all accept that we are concerned about the crisis at the SABC, then I think we shouldn't fall into this trap of assuming that all the woes at the SABC are the responsibility of the board and the board alone. Because I think that's the premise that we're moving from here today. That by interrogating this board and beginning this inquiry today, we're going to get to the bottom of all the problems at the SABC. It's to do with the board and the management of the SABC. And I think it's disingenuous of us to suggest that by continuing with this inquiry, without giving them adequate time to prepare, it would solve all these problems. So I would like to suggest that if we are concerned about the crisis at the SABC and we want to get to the bottom of it, that we do ask the board questions about how we came to be in this position, and then consider another date for the formation of a proper inquiry in which they're given adequate time to prepare and they are able to answer our questions in a manner that is fair and is in keeping with the dignity of this house. Thank you.
You must accept that you look the executive management and directly accountable to parking. But the non-executive people that we have recommended for appointment. And nobody is suggesting this inquiry will solve all the problems of the SEDC. Nobody has said that. We know that the problems are deeper than just the board. But what we are here about is that this board is not functioning. And we had a central role as a committee in parliament to establish this board. And they are accountable to this parliament. Now, that won't solve all the problems, but it might contribute to a solution ultimately to the general problems of the SEDC, particularly the financial crisis. So, I think we must be clear about what this exercise is about. It's about making the board members accountable to this institution in the public interest. That's what it's about. It's in the public interest, and it's in the interest of the public broadcaster. And I think Advocate Zalanga is right. We will be failing in our responsibility if we don't understand the gravity of the situation and start acting. Last week, when we took the decision to institute the inquiry, all of us were present. And every party agreed. It was a unanimous decision of the parties here and the membership of this committee that we must proceed with this inquiry. No dissenting voice. That's exactly what we are doing. Because we said it's a great situation and we need bold and decisive leadership on our part. Because nobody else can contribute towards a decision on this matter but this committee through the National Assembly ultimately. So I also want to, as a chairperson of the committee, we have to assert the role and the leadership of this committee in the public interest. We can't abdicate that responsibility. I want the members of the committee to keep that in mind. We are not here to play games. If there's a crisis, if this was your private company, a private corporation, yes, this you would have been acting a long time ago already. You wouldn't have waited for 840 million rand deficit. You wouldn't have waited. You would have fired certain people. You would have acted against your board. So I think you must keep this in mind. We are dealing with a public institution. And we also have a very serious responsibility. And we must act timely and we must be decisive in our action. Mr. Kulwani.
The irony says that we have not acted timely, we are acting late, but we must act decisively. Chair, maybe let's continue, Chair, with the inquiry. We have posed question on the first round. We are indicating that we are noting the position which they are presenting before us. Then we proceed with the inquiry so that the question which we have posed, they are able to be responded to. There are simple questions, Chair, which they don't need any meeting. Like members who resign and not attend the three meetings, they are. You don't need a meeting to do that matter. It's a matter which is obvious that other people, they are just using this opportunity to present a united front without dealing with the issues, Chair, which we are trying to deal with. So, Chair, my view will be that let us get the answer to the question we've posed. We are still waiting for the CFO report on the overspending, which needs to be presented, Chair. If that check can be done, so that we get going, Chair, with this inquiry. Because, Chair, everyone else agrees about the nature of the situation in the SAPC. That's why, Chair, we've been working day and night to make sure that matter gets resolved. Now we've got that opportunity, Chair. The members are here. I posed question in relation to what one of the board members said, which one member present here also indicated the non-functionality of the board. Those questions, Chair, need to be responded to. Because if we attend this meeting, Chair, we should be knowing that what is going on, what is going to be happening at the SABC. We cannot just attend it, Chair, and tomorrow we don't know what will be the situation. As on daily basis, there are new developments around the SABC and so on. So, Chair, will appeal that we proceed, Chair, our question will be responded to. Those who want to participate and those who do not want to participate, Chair, will do so. But our question, Chair, needs to be responded to. So that, Chair, we leave this matter of busy discussing whether we proceed or not. In majority, yes, Chair, we are saying, Chair, we need to proceed. The question will be responded to and so on. Thank
you. Chairperson and honorable members. Let's say hypothetically that indeed the board, and I don't want to cast any questions, that the board is committed to develop or assist the SABC. We have heard from them here that they have not been, the previous committee has not been helpful or protecting them or wanting to cooperate with the board from its inception. If we claim to be a new committee and we don't want to inherit that baggage, whatever it was, would this board be prepared to reconsider their resignation and withdraw their resignation and continue to solve some of the day-to-day problems with the SABC? Because this inquiry, I can promise you, the answers we want to get from the board, we cannot get them over the next few hours. It's going to take us long. But if they are South Africans and we believe that they've got integrity, why they don't reconsider that position? If they were to withdraw, that would immediately remove anyone who thinks that there is a political agenda from any other party from our side.
Is
there? I just want to raise two issues. I think it's another remedy that we maybe need to consider as a committee, and that is in terms of section, 215(1)(2)(a), and I need some legal interpretation on this. A non-executive member of the board may resign by 3 months written notice addressed to the appointing body, provided that the appointing body may on good cause show allow a shorter period. But I think we can appeal to the appointing body to shorten this 3 month period so that we can go on with the life of the SABC. I don't quite agree with General Holomisa's proposal that, asking the board to consider their resignation. I think it's water under the bridge and lots of things just happen, as you explained. We genuinely, as this new committee, want to find solutions. And so I want our legal person just to give clarity on that. Will that have the effect, if we approach the appointing body to shorten the period to a week or to 2 weeks, then we pass this 3 month waiting period. Then the second question, Chairperson, is that it seems to me that we are working on the assumption that the questions that we as a committee want to put in the inquiry is different than the questions that we will put under when there's no inquiry. I have asked before the break, the board prepared to answer questions on the Deloitte and Touche report, which is dated the 19th of January, and are they prepared to prepared to answer questions to the report that was presented to us last week?
which I assume that that report was produced by all the GERB board members and the executive. So, and let's say, if we confine ourselves to these two documents, then I will say we can even remove the inquiry. But now it seems to me that people think if we're going to come to, once this is in inquiry, then we're going to come with different questions. And to me, certainly it's not going to be different questions. It's going to be the same questions. And we started asking the questions last week, Thursday already, to say, please, can we have answers? Now, Chairperson, I'm really trying to see how we can find solutions, accepting that the board have got rights in terms of their understanding and their interpretation. We're all entitled to interpret the law in different ways, and they do need time. But I also asked before we left, if we give you more time, what do we do in the interim? How do we move forward? How do we find solutions? And I think that the board members is oversensitive to inquiries, almost as if it's a disciplinary hearing. You know, they're now going to be disciplined or held liable as a collective. I really don't think it's the intention of this committee, at least from my side, to try and be difficult and punish the board and bring them before a disciplinary inquiry. We've never mentioned that once. We don't want to punish any board member. We really are trying to find genuine solutions. But there's no way that the committee can proceed to find the solution without the involvement of the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. There's one worrying factor for me. This Portfolio Committee on Communications has got an oversight role. This is our duty to look after the entities under the Department of Communications. This is why we're here. We are representing the voters of South Africa, the people of South Africa. And the fact that the board members doesn't even want to answer the questions of this committee. This is very, very, very worrying. We've got this oversight role. And we can answer this questions. This is why we are here. That is why the portfolio committees in Parliament exist. To look after all the departments and see that the job is done. You know, I've got a feeling that the only way, I just want to say this before I say the other things. If the board doesn't want to communicate with this portfolio committee, I don't think they are in any ways communicating with the personnel of the SABC. I'm wondering what is going on at the SABC today. I know people are watching the parliamentary channel and they wonder what is getting out of this committee meeting today. The SABC is full of gossip, Mr. Chairman. If you need a story, just go to the smoking rooms of the SABC. And there you hear all the news. I know it because I was there.
That's the best thing anybody has said so far.
So, and the reason why the personnel of the SABC are constantly leaking information to the press is the only way that they can make an impact. Because no one at the SABC are listening to the personnel of the SABC. That's the reason why they are leaking it. And, you know, it's quite funny. The SABC is a communications institution. And what we've seen here today is a wonderful example of communication. I want to applaud you. If you can't communicate with this committee, how can you communicate with the people of South Africa? How can you give instructions to your personnel to make certain programs, to reach certain markets? It's impossible. And I will tell you, Mr. Chairman, the gossip will go on. And at that point, I'm not going to formulate my question again, but can I ask my question for the fourth time?
Yes, as far as Honourable Honourable is concerned, I would like to say CV. Can I just quickly go, and as far as the status of this meeting is concerned, just ask the following. We have heard what the position is expressed by the Honourable member from the ANC, that they feel that the process should continue. As far as my party is concerned, Chairperson, you know very well what our position is. I believe we should continue with posing the question, but I want to state that from the position of my party, we will understand the concerns expressed by members of the board about the due process issues, etc. And I want to say that the situation that we are facing, the crisis at the SABC today, could also very largely be ascribed to sloppy legislation. And I think we need to go back to the statute books and go and see to really write into our legislation proper lines of accountability. Because I do not want to engage you on the details of the PFMA Act, etc., because ultimately we must go and find guilty individuals who are consuming vast sums of public money and are not executing their responsibilities. I want to just state that as far as highly professional non-executive members are concerned of the board, I do absolutely concur with Reverend Zondi, who indicated that we should do the questioning of these members with real respect for the role that they have fulfilled. I had a look at the previous year's annual report of the SABC. I have noted the commitment of members, many of them who served in the previous board, and just by way of interest, it's very interesting that six of the members of the current board, or some of those who have already resigned so far, also served in the previous board, Chairperson. And that is important because that constitutes corporate memory. And we must not underestimate how important corporate memory is for the process ahead as well. So therefore, I would like to suggest the following. We all agree, as multi-party members of this committee, that we should investigate and try to get to the bottom of the problems at the SABC. But we did not agree to something that people would feel they are already guilty before they have been engaged in question. We don't want to be part of a kangaroo court exercise, Chairperson. So I would like to say, can we proceed, get the responses from, especially from the Chief Financial Officer, with a view to the status of the documentation that was presented to the committee last Thursday, and to then proceed to say to the board members, we find the situation that we will face a quorum problem soon. I think it's somewhere in September. There is another way out of this dilemma as well. Because I do believe, and you know, it's easy to cast blame and it's human. But there was a problem between the communication between this committee, not only within the SABC, but also between this committee and the board, be it non-executive and executive, in the course of last year, Chairperson. There was seriously lack of communication. And that is also one of the problems that we have to really establish. To what extent did they alert us in time about financial problems that have now become a reality, the whole liquidity problem? And I just want to go back to the documentation that was presented to us. For any institution to overrun the employee compensation and benefit expenses in 1 year by 450 million, is it possible? Is that what is really
dealt the final sort of blow to this institution.
Hold on, Ms. Kina. We are now getting into the questions again.
Okay.
I think I want to come to the point where we can make a decision now. I just got some legal advice here. Ms. Tillel, the president cannot determine a shorter period if the member who resigns does not indicate a shorter period. So if somebody says with immediate effect, that means from that day. Otherwise, the president is not at liberty to shorten the three-month notice. The three-month notice stays in place. The other thing is that the legal advice we're getting, you've heard our legal team saying that there's nothing irregular about this process, and that we should perhaps consider proceeding with the inquiry, and that the answers that members of the board give, whether it is inside of the inquiry or outside of the inquiry, should not be an issue of concern. You are expected to answer truthfully and to the best of your ability, whether it is inside of the inquiry or outside of the inquiry. I don't think that we're going to have two different answers depending on two different processes. So I've heard all the parties. I don't know if the committee wants me to rule on the matter. I want to rule then that the inquiry will proceed today, until we adjourn for lunch or whatever time that we agree upon. If we do not finish our business today, of course, the committee is at liberty to decide when we should reconvene. But I think that we want to continue with the process. So that's, I think, the decision of the committee. And I'm going to ask members to put their questions. And I'd like to put my first question, if I can be at liberty.
I just wish to ask whether you have now ruled that the inquiry should proceed.
Yes, I have ruled that the inquiry should proceed. Yes. The meeting will continue as scheduled in the agenda. Okay. My first question is actually to Ms. Christine Kunta. You resigned, as far as we know, on the 1st of April 2009. Since then, you've got a three-month period, so it's 1st of April, 1st of May, 1st of June, 1st of July, I guess. 3 months. Have you attended any of the board meetings since the date of your resignation? And is it correct that you have missed three consecutive meetings of the board without proper apology? Check. No, can Ms. Kunta answer that question? Because I think we need legal clarity on that issue. The first issue is whether she is a member, full member of this board, in view of her alleged failure to attend board meetings and committee meetings. I want to clarify that first, just with respect to Ms. Kunta. Then we can talk about the rest of the members.
Chairperson, with the greatest of respect, it is. If you have ruled that the inquiry continues, the very real concern and apprehension we as board, non-executive board...
Sorry, Ms. Kunta, I'm not asking you to respond on behalf of the board. I want a simple response from you.
I am going
in your personal capacity, have you attended the last three board meetings? Because that would have a bearing on your status in this proceeding.
Okay.
Because I've read the articles of association, and it says very, very clearly, if a member has been absent from three consecutive board meetings, that person is automatically deemed to be a non-member of the board. I want to get clarity just on that issue. I'd like you to speak to that, because I've got the record from the company secretary, which says that from the 1st of April, for every meeting of the committee, you have not attended a single meeting. And I go through it. It says ST board. There's a whole list of that. I don't even understand what these acronyms mean. But I can see there's a continuous absence. So I want to establish your status as a board member just on the basis of your participation at meetings.
Chairperson, on a point of order, you will forgive me, I'm a little bit stiff. I take time to follow things. You gave the ruling from the request they made earlier on. Procedurally, one would have expected to say, are you compliant with the ruling, or do you want to ask to procedure is circuit. Can they answer that? Then your question will follow immediately after that.
General, I understand what you are saying. But you see, if the answer is that they are not complying with the decision, then Ms. Kunta is within her right to leave this meeting. And as the chairperson of this committee, and I think as members of this committee, we will never know whether she is a legitimate member of the board or not. So I just want to establish that first. Because she has introduced herself as the deputy chairperson of the board. She's presented herself here as a full member of the board. And I just only want to establish that. Because I think it will help us.
But Chairperson, you had that information before the start of this meeting. Yeah. Why did you allow her to make a presentation?
No. This information has been brought to my attention subsequently.
Okay.
It has just come through a little while ago. So I need to get clear about
right.
the matter.
Good
Thank
job.
You very much. Ms. Kunta, over to you, and then we can move with the rest of the issue.
Chairperson, I will answer you now. I just want to place it on record that in answering this question, I do not submit to the inquiry, and which is why I have asked you, is this question part of the inquiry? And have you now ruled that the inquiry should proceed? Because that is important for me. I cannot choose to answer certain questions and not others if it is part of the inquiry. The issues we are raising is not because we want to refuse to answer questions. We accept that this committee has an oversight role. We accept that we have to respond to questions. But I think the committee also, and I say this with the greatest of respect, must understand that in this country there is a constitution and there is the rule of law. And the rule of law requires that whatever public powers are exercised, they are exercised in accordance with the Constitution and legislation applicable. And we have indicated repeatedly that the manner in which this committee has convened this inquiry is not procedurally and substantially
fair. I'll give you an opportunity to make a statement later on the issue of the inquiry. I'm just reading from your articles of association. It's very simple. It's a very simple matter. You don't need any legal expertise or advice or anything. It says disqualification of directors, and I mean by directors, I assume it's a board member. It says a director shall cease to hold office as such if. Then 13.11 says something, 13.12 says something, 13.13 says she or he absents herself or himself from meetings of the board for 3 consecutive meetings without leave of the other directors, without permission of the other directors. And the other directors resolve, and they resolve that her or his office shall be vacated, provided this shall not apply to a director who is represented by an alternate who does not so absent himself or herself. Now, all I want to know is whether such a decision has been taken, and whether you have attended the meeting. That's all you need to respond. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a broader statement.
But I'm not making a statement. I am saying, I'm asking you a question. The question you are raising, which I am more than willing to answer, and it's a very easy thing, but are you asking me that question as part of the inquiry to inquire into the status of the board? If it is, Chair, if it is then it's...
Sorry, there's a point of order there.
No, the point of order, Chair, isn't. I said I'm just going to... No.
Sorry. Continue.
Chairperson, I am saying the reason why it is relevant for me to know whether the question you are asking is part of this inquiry into the legal status of the board is because we have raised these objections. It's not merely a statement I'm making. It is part of the objections we have raised as board members, individually and collectively as a group, that the process is not regular. The parliamentary legal advisor would say and give Parliament the advice that she does. I do not accept that advice. We do not accept it, and we are entitled. We cannot be prejudiced by Parliament seeking legal advice, and we have been deprived of the opportunity of seeking legal advice regarding our position, including the question you are asking me now. I can answer you that question factually.
Please don't ask the question factually. That's what we're asking for.
But, Chairperson, I cannot answer this question if it is part of the inquiry. It is for me impossible to say, I'm going to answer you a question, one question of the inquiry, and then not the next one, because then we are right into the inquiry.
Order, sir. Can I raise an order? There's a ruling here that the proceedings of the inquiry is going on. And I think that we should go ahead, and that if any member of the board does not wish to participate in the inquiry, they so indicate, and that they leave. And the other thing that's amusing me is how it depends, what is material about whether the question, which is more of a matter of fact, why does it matter whether it's part of the inquiry or not? And I think I must also indicate that this proceeding started on Thursday, and they have been continuing even today, and that there have been responses to some of the questions that were posed, and that on the basis of those responses, we will use that information that we receive from the members of the board to make a determination. And I think it more depends on the members of the board to assist us in making a proper determination. So I think if there's anybody who doesn't want to participate, wants to get, legal advice or anything of the sort, they should so wish to leave the inquiry, and that those who wish to participate should continue to participate as was started on Thursday, and that we, as and when we end the proceedings, we, in face of this, exchange with, I don't know, well, Ms. Kunta, because I don't know what her position is. I'm yet to find out, so I'll refer to her as Ms. Kunta. Right, I think... Yes, Ms. Kunta.
Can I assist you to get past this point? I think that it was said in the meeting by Ms. Kunta that she is the deputy chair of the SABC board. To get past this question is that you've got information. If you ask the company secretary to confirm that the information is true and correct, and then you've got your answer, and then you proceed from there. Thank you.
No, I can do that, but I thought I'll give the opportunity to Ms. Kunta, but if she doesn't want to respond, that's fine. I think the ruling stands. We are continuing with the inquiry. In fact, the inquiry started this morning at 10 o'clock. I just need to remind you that, and it started last week, Thursday. So we have not adjourned the inquiry. The inquiry is in process already, and we are proceeding with it further. Mr. Kolwana, because I want to now get on to questions.
Chair, I'll be interested.
And those who want to answer can answer. Those who don't want to, they can reserve their right.
Chair, I'll want to hear from the company secretary on the first matter you've raised, so that we pass it nicely. We don't have any doubt. Did she attend the last meeting of the board? The company secretary is here. Is the author of the document they are talking about can verify that record? Is that true? So that you see, we don't waste time. People does not belong here. They're not supposed to be here anyway. We continue those who are supposed to be here. Thanks, sir. Can I get the answer to that question?
No.
Chair, she hasn't been since the 1st of April.
How many meetings of the board?
For this financial year, we've had 5, which was 1 ordinary meeting and 4 special.
Thank you very much. Any apologies for tables?
Yeah, the notice of the meeting did not go to her because the resignation letter that she sent said it was with effect, she would cease to be a director with effect from the 1st of April.
With immediate effect. And does the letter say with immediate effect?
Chair, she gave the date as the 1st of April.
Are we clear with that now?
I'm sorry, sir, that's too short like this. But then, Chair, if Mrs. Kunta, why are we being held hostage here if she knows that she has given the 1st of April that she's no longer the member of the board? Why is this, she here?
Mr. Robbie.
Let me just speak as a colleague now of this board, because it's important. The starting point is that Christine resigned in April, and the letter to the president went at a particular date, 21st of April. That's number one. The second thing, she asked for a short notice, which she does not have. Which means Ms. Kunta is here until July. It's key that we say this. But if this committee has an intention to change all of that, that's a different matter at this board. And then the one last thing, Chairman, I want to say is we haven't had 5 board meetings, or 3 for that matter. And I think, Kanye, you can just correct the number of board meetings. The board meeting can only be attended by me and the other board members. So we haven't had these 3 board meetings we're talking about, and for all intents and purposes, Ms. Kunta is serving her notice for until the president allows her to serve the short notice. I hope this clarifies this matter. And just to say, Chairman, I'm exhausted now. I'm quite keen to get to the business of SABC, if we can. In whatever format it is, I'm quite keen to get this, and I'm not going to answer. I'm going to give you a full year of SABC financial status. So I'm not answering a multiple choice question here. I'm going to talk about the status of SABC as an entity which you all presiding on in our different capacities. I'm quite keen for us to get to that. Thank you, Chairman.
Yeah, but you see, Mr. Robbie, that's really our difficulty here. If you have the company secretary saying there were 5 board meetings, and you're saying that there were not even 3, I mean, you can't come to, even if this wasn't a formal inquiry, if this is an ordinary parliamentary briefing session, do you really expect us to take you seriously if we can't get simple, basic, accurate information? Now, the company secretary says there were 5 meetings, and Ms. Kunta did not attend any one of them. Is that true, according to the knowledge of any other board member?
Chairperson, I think if the record demonstrates that there were 3 meetings and they weren't attended by Ms. Kunta, then I think that's on record, and I'm sure she wouldn't dispute that. I think the point is that whether she is or isn't, she's not exonerated from reporting to this committee like everybody else. So I'm not really sure. I mean, I think it might establish a status on whether she's deputy chairperson or not or whatever. But this committee, in terms of the Companies Act, in terms of the PMSA, and in terms of the Broadcasting Act, irrespective of your resignation, you're accountable to this parliament. So I think, you know, on that basis, we either choose to proceed or not. I think there is a desire to provide some information, and I propose that we reserve rights, as has been indicated, and a response in relation to particularly the fiduciary issues be addressed.
Thank you, Ms. Nkonda.
I think, Chair, this is exactly what we were saying about the process being flawed. You have information that is not in front of us. So we need that adequate time to check the dates, to check everything. But there has been a problem, and I noted that this also was raised by members of the committee. The problem with all of the resignations is that some would go to the minister and be acknowledged by the minister, and some went to the president, and no acknowledgement by the president or anyone if it's from the presidency. This has been the problem with all of the resignations. When Christine's resignation was submitted, it was submitted to the late minister and it was acknowledged. And the company started the process of making sure that then she's out of the register of companies as a member of, as a director of the SABC. This is why, and if you listen, the company secretary also indicated that there was no notice given to her. And this is why she would not have attended or she would not have apologized. Because no notice was sent to her about any of the meetings. I am still disputing that there were 5 meetings, but because I don't have the copy of the meetings that you have in front of you. But the whole process of resignations has been flawed because there's not been clarity where they go, who acknowledges, and how they should be accepted.
But can I just read out a simple clause from the Act? Okay? 15.2 of the Act says, very simple, I don't know why there should be any confusion about this matter. A non-executive member of the board may resign by 3 months written notice addressed to the appointing authority. That means the president. Now, I don't know why any member of the board would choose to resign by writing to the minister. When the statutory requirement is that you must resign and send a letter to the president of this country. Why should there be any confusion about this matter? It's in law, it's the act that governs you. And it says explicitly that you must send in your letter of resignation to the president. So why would members then write to the minister or send an SMS to me?
I have not sent any SMS check, but I mean, I'm just saying this is the problem with the process has been flawed. There's been no acknowledgement. The only acknowledgement that we received, Peter Bunda's resignation went to the minister. That was before the act was signed into law. Christine's resignation went to the minister because we were not aware that that law had been signed at that time. And that's all. It's just a matter of days until the acting minister actually rectified the problem that no, the process now under the amendment is that the resignations have to be sent to the president.
Advocate DeLange, not sorry.
Yeah, I am not sure what we're doing. You've given a ruling that the inquiry is going to continue. It is very clear that the 8 members that read the statement this morning are not prepared to participate in this matter. I mean, the answer we just got now is, I will come and give you a year's bookkeeping in the board, and that's all I'm going to answer. Now, you see, we can play around, and we, of course, being careful from this side, because procedurally we do not want to make mistakes either. Or we can just sit here the whole day and actually be, I mean, I think we are a complete embarrassment outside with people watching this. Complete and utter embarrassment. I don't know if the board members know that all the issues of their status and so on, that they want to protect and which Reverend Zondi has quite correctly, today is being hugely dented by the media. Now what I suggest is, they clearly do not want to answer the questions. Let us subpoena them to a proper meeting. They then have to answer every question we ask, and if they don't, there are consequences for doing so. It is clear that there is, you know, they're talking now to the public out there. They say, no, 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 we want to participate, but everything they do is to avoid participation. So they're busy with a public relations exercise. They don't want to look as if they're not accounting to us in Parliament. But that's what they're doing. They're not accounting to us in Parliament. They don't want to ask, I think, how many times do you ask the question? Maybe they need the question written down. Your question. Then they will be able to answer it. But then they'll ask, they're not ready because they need a lawyer to tell them how to answer the question. Now, I really think, Chair, we are embarrassing the nation and we are embarrassing SABC even more. We must decide as a committee, are we going to allow to be made fools of and not to allow to do our work? Because I'm not prepared to do that. Myself, I'm not prepared to do that. My problem is, there are the accounting officers, there is a board that's running wild, and a corporation that's running wild out there. I do not know. I cannot account to anyone how money is being spent, how decisions are being made. I do not know. Because no one is prepared to talk to us and tell us what's going on for us to rectify this. Now we have to take serious action. And if these members think that they can play public exercises and make it if they're going to tell the world they're prepared to participate but not going to participate unless it's on their terms, then I think we should take action. And the action we should do is put them to terms. Subpoena them. They have to come to Parliament if they subpoena. They cannot sit here and act like they're doing now. If they subpoena, we continue with this inquiry exactly because they have to answer the question. Otherwise, there's consequences to it. So I want to suggest we do that. I think we're embarrassing them, but definitely we're embarrassing our nation. Anyone that sits and watches us for 2 days trying to get a basic question out of this board for, I don't know, we're still going to get the input of how much money was overspent, how many money has disappeared, and all those things we still have to answer, which they have to answer for. My other problem is, what do I answer to the Minister of Finance, the PFMA Act? There are duties in this PFMA Act where they should be living up to. Of course, Ms. Kunta hasn't done it since April. The others haven't done it since they haven't been board members. Now, how do we account for those things? We can't, Chair. And the problem is, we're playing games here. We're saying, well, let them see if they want to answer. And if they want to answer, let them answer. If they don't, I just think we must take this thing seriously. Subpoena them to be here tomorrow and then continue with this inquiry properly, and we can then ask all the questions we have to ask and which is our duty to ask. And not to ask favors from them to answer the question.
Edward DeLanga, I hear what you're saying. So I have rules that the inquiry is proceeding. I want us to put the question. Those members who do not want to participate in the proceedings, let them so indicate if questions are put to them specifically. And those who want to participate, I think it's not correct that you subpoena somebody who wants to participate in the proceedings. If somebody who wants to cooperate with this committee, willfully and freely, let's give them the opportunity. We did that on Thursday with 2 members. It's a very constructive engagement. If there's anybody else that wants to participate, let us continue. Those who don't want to, the committee can then decide whether it wants to go the approach that you are suggesting. Can we proceed on that basis? Okay, I'm going to allow just 2 more speakers, and I'm sure that the lunch is getting cold. So we will adjourn for lunch, but we will reconvene after that. Mr. Dillon?
You know, the debate, of course, is also this afternoon, and so we do have time constraints. In terms of the discussion this morning and the dispute about interpretation of the law, that's why we have the court to finally decide which interpretation is right or wrong. And we also cannot prevent anybody exercising his or her choice to turn to the court. So I think that will be the ultimate solution. Can I repeat my questions that I put the other day, Chairperson? First, on page 7 of the report of the FADC, on page 7, where it refers to the expenditure, and it says certain units were overspent. And then on page 16, it shows that the employee compensation and benefit expenses, that was overspent by 36%. The professional and consulting fees was overspent by 32%. And then with other expenses, overspent by 168%. And I did ask at that stage, Chairperson, can you have a breakdown of these other expenses? Then, also on page 17 of the report, the people who put this report together drew a red circle around the statement of financial position. I think it was under trade and receivable. If that could also be explained. And then also on page 17, under statement of financial position continued, it refers to current liabilities, trade and other payables. Can the increase be explained there up to 1.2 million and why? And also, this one is quite high too. The current interest-bearing loans and borrowing that has gone from 31,000 to 509,000. That is the query that I want to raise, Chairperson. And while I have the floor, if I can go to the report of Deloitte and Deloitte on page 4, under the heading Statement of Responsibility. It says that the matters raised in this report are only those which came to our attention during the course of our work and are not necessarily a comprehensive statement of all areas for attention or weaknesses that may exist. Any recommendations made for improvement should be assessed by you for their appropriate and full impact before they are implemented. It's clear from this statement that that what is needed after this Deloitte report is that we do need a forensic audit. And I want to know whether the board members will concur with this, because they have been in the possession of this report since the 19th of January. That's from my side, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Ms. Nicholson. These questions were put last week Thursday. Are you in a position to respond? And then we'll open it to any other board member.
Yes, Chair, I did answer some of the questions, but we've got a presentation we can answer them all. I must tell you that it's 110 pages, so it's quite a detailed presentation. We'll take us some time because there's a lot of detail. But if I can beg the indulgence, I just want to be quite clear about something from my point of view. I'll make all the disclosures of this house once in good faith. I'm taking it on good faith that this is not going to prejudice my rights as an employee, a director, in terms of criminal negligence or any wrongdoing in terms of the FMA. So if I end up in an inquiry into one of those things, then I must be able to say, yes, I made those disclosures, this is the case, but I'm not going to be prejudiced by these admissions. So that could be at least accepted, because I've got a legal degree in my past somewhere along the line, but that was a long time ago. And then there are other things that I want to put as we do the presentation, sir. Because I think I must agree with us. You know, the SABC can't wait any longer. It's in the best public interest to get through this business. So yes, I'll deal with Ms. Dill's questions in the presentation, sir.
So you've got a full presentation to submit to us?
Yes, sir, but just on that, the board hasn't seen it, my group executive hasn't seen it, it's not the auditors haven't finalized on some of these numbers yet. No, I know that, Mr. Dill.
All right. You know, but you do have a presentation to give us as a result of last week's request. Okay, fine. Sorry, she has been waiting for quite some time. I'll give you a chance.
No, I haven't been speaking because I'm a good listener. And so when I talk, yes, from my senses. No, I just, at the time when I had my hand up, I just wanted to respond to Ms. Konza's concern that the process has been flawed. In particular, I wanted to respond on the record that you have of attendance. That we have asked, because this inquiry started last week, that what I know as this committee member, the inquiry started last week, not today. In that inquiry, we asked the secretary to furnish us with the record of attendance. That is the reason why you have that. I just wanted to clarify that. Not as if this record has just been sent to us in another manner. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Advocate Sakula, and then Desmond. And I think we are adjourn for lunch.
Chairperson, you see, we don't want to leave. We don't want to leave this place and leave with an impression that we don't want to cooperate. Matters are serious. But you see, some of us are lawyers. PFMA, Companies Act, have serious consequences, even of a personal nature. So really and truly, we have to say that. That is why we needed to move us forward. I made a suggestion, but we have made a ruling. And now that we have made a ruling, probably to say, my proposal is that because a ruling has been made, those who want to participate can do so, but to say on behalf of the board that we do so without prejudice. Without prejudice because of the, to our rights, because of the legal consequences that arise
from an inquiry of this nature. Thank you.
Rolling.
Chairperson, I've also been very quiet as well, because I would like to assist this particular committee. I think the bigger question here is the understanding of the financial nature. And I think questions have been put down, and as one of the people who chairs the audit committee, in fact, and I think the suggestion was made earlier on that the chair of finance makes a bigger presentation. Myself as a chair of audit also give an input. It will give the thorough detail as to the breadth and the depth of the corporation. I've been listening quietly and attentively, and I think one, as a board member, is willing to assist this particular committee because there are fundamental issues that I think need to be shown this particular committee that I'm willing to do. Thank you.
And Becky?
Chair, I thank to my colleague, I made an appeal to yourself, to the House, to say maybe what you should consider is the issue of the submission. The issue, Chairperson, mainly is the fact that once you based the invitation in law that you have invited us in here, and you call it inquiry, it immediately assumes a legal status. And the main issue is that you cannot be selective in applying the law. You have to apply it to the latter. And one thing, Chairperson, which this House has done so well, in as far as the inquiry is concerned, one of the requirements in an inquiry is to put before the people that you're inviting the issues that they have to deal with. And the invitation letter we have here has actually done that. The invitation letter has asked us to discuss the legal status of the board currently and whether it can continue to function. Now, everything else that has come up forward so far, if we take it on a technical basis, I said in my initial submission, this board can be as technical as possible, and it will be a shame to have a situation where members of this House, which we respect so much, will be defeated in that technical argument. And everything that we've been trying to do has been along those lines, to say we do not want to compete here and play an intellectual gymnastrada in terms of our understanding of the law. There are clear stipulations in the letter of our invitation. But I then said, Chairperson, to say, to try and assist the process, we have often discussed as colleagues and made a request to say the two colleagues, the chairperson of finance and the chairperson of audit, could share with this House, particularly the issues around the financial status of the organization. And I then said, at the end, I will make a submission. Maybe before we break for lunch, I could actually do that. We might not actually come back. Colleague,
what are you saying?
I'm coming to my point.
What are you saying?
Yeah, colleague, to be honest, as South Africans, a responsible citizen of our country, in all fairness, if we take stock of what happened this morning up to this point, it is a clear testimony to say there is a crisis, indeed. Secondly, is that we have resigned. Some of us have actually made the recommendation to say the resignation could be with immediate effect, subject to processes being followed. And we are honored to have been afforded the opportunity to serve the organization, the SABC, and also we have been serving as an extension of this House. We have been doing that on your behalf.
But the reality now is that the center is no longer holding. And in the best interest of the organization, in the best interest of the country, South Africa, in the best interest of SADC and the citizens out there that we are serving, it is indeed up to this house to really say, whether you take it what happened last week and this morning, to say, you have seen it yourself that there is a problem. On the basis of that, you could actually make the necessary recommendation to say, when you get people appointed, there are induction processes they go through, and there is gelling and working togetherness. But once people tender their resignation and all other things, that chemistry is no longer there anymore. And all that we have made, and we have made in our submission to say, on behalf of South Africa and South Africans, ordinary people out there, we are willing to make ourselves available during the remaining period of the 3 months while we are serving our notices. But for SADC to get its chemistry back to function, in all fairness, really, it requires a resignation, and it requires this house to use its discretion. And there are provisions that are available for that, one of which is that every board member that has resigned, the resignation could be shortened, and people can be continuously be answerable to this house. But if we go technical fair, my submission again, it will be a shame that you honorable members, the invitation you have sent to us, technically, it defeats what you are trying to do. Thank you.
All right. I've just been taking legal advice and told that we want to just check the powers and privileges act again. It is possible for people to give testimony if they take an oath without personal prejudice or liability. But we want to get absolute legal clarity on the matter. Can I suggest that we adjourn for lunch now and that we reconvene at 2 o'clock? Okay. Sorry, just hold on. The venue after lunch is V454. So we will reconvene in V454 at 2 o'clock. Is everybody going to say? Yes, V454. So we meet at 2 o'clock.